Hi there, and welcome back to the Energy Sector Heroes podcast. My name is Michelle Fraser, and every week I will speak with incredible people who share their lessons, experiences, and stories from their time spent in the energy sector. Hi there, and welcome back again to this week's episode. If you're new to the show, then please take a second to subscribe and even consider sharing the show with just one other person. This week, I am joined by Varun Taneja. Varun is an incredible engineering manager specializing in project management and Six Sigma Green Belt certification. Varun, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Varun Taneja, and sorry, Michelle, first thing is that I should apologize for not coming in earlier. I have a new job and I was traveling quite a lot in the last few months. So I am Varun. I am working as an engineering manager with a company called Hatch, which is into mining and metals. Prior to this, I was working with firms like Punj Lloyd, which is an Indian infrastructure company. And post that, I was working with CBNI, which is now McDermott, for about 11 years. Started off as a telecom engineer because of my degree and moved on to instrumentation, then project engineering, project management, and here I am today.
Okay, so how did you get started off in the energy sector then?
So the year I started, 2008, when I passed out, it was one of the worst recessions of all times. And, I was picked up by an IT company right out of college, and they delayed my joining by a few months. And that is why that is when I came across a company called Punj Lloyd, which is a big major infrastructure pipeline and energy sector company in India and Southeast Asia. So I got an opportunity there, started working. And as people say, whatever happens, happens for good. And that is how I ended up in the energy sector and never looked back.
Okay. So it must have been a very challenging time when you first graduated, if it was a downturn. How did you deal with that?
So yes, it was a challenging time when we started back in 2008. The world was, not even recovering. It was not even there in the recovery stage of the downturn. I think it started mid of 2007 or end of 2007. So obviously challenges were there. You, as a fresher, when you start right in the midst of a recession, so you always have that constant fear. The good thing was the company I started with had a good number of projects and they were well settled in the energy sector, which helped me, gain a couple of very good projects, which I started with. Obviously, the first couple of projects in your career define a lot where your career takes you to.
Okay, that sounds amazing. So did you have any role models during your career and why did you find them inspirational?
So yes, I have had a few role models all throughout my career. And my first role model was the engineering manager of my first project, Mr. R.K. Thakral. So he went on to become the project director for that project and then organization. One thing was very clear about his way of style is he was very dynamic. So I really liked his working style, his confidence, and I wanted to be dynamic. And you should not be afraid of taking risks. And that is the first thing which I saw him do first time I worked with him. I was just fresh into the company, I think 3 months into the company. And that's when I got a new project as a lead to lead a big pipeline project in Malaysia as a telecom lead. So obviously it was very challenging, but yes, under his guidance and under his leadership, I think now I can say that was the most challenging or the most fruitful project of my career.
Okay. What is the most challenging thing about your career?
Yeah, so currently I'm into engineering management and project management. So analyzing people's expectations and handling emotions, I think, is the most challenging part of our career or job responsibilities. At project management, as one of our mentors or one of our industry leaders once told me, project management is not a science, it's an art. So you learn by doing things, you improve yourself with every piece that you make. So the most challenging part for me, I would say, is handling people, handling emotions and coming out of them.
Okay. Do you think it's really hard to deal with the softer side of project management and dealing with people and their emotions? Because when you're running a big multi-billion pound project, it can get quite heated at times, and especially if things are not going as planned.
Yeah. So yes, I have had so many instances like that that we have to have to handle people's emotions and you know, under pressure, everybody reacts differently. So the first thing is, when you are into that heated moment or under pressure and you have to take care of emotions, so first thing is, do not react. Just listen, calm down, and break the problem in smaller pieces. Half of the problem is solved if you communicate well. So in these circumstances also, it is very important to communicate well with the person or the parties involved, with the client, third parties, or our people. So start by not reacting immediately. Calm yourself down, take time to think, and be unconditionally honest. So that's my mantra.
Okay. And do you think that that helps? Because it can be quite difficult when you're caught up in the moment.
So yes, it has to be dealt with patience. As I said, that, you know, emotions can be varied. And when you are in the moment, so you can lose cool very soon. So you have to master that art, or with practice over the years, or with experience, that you need to calm down. As project managers or as leaders, we cannot lose our cool very often, or we should not lose our cool very often. So we have to keep that calm and, you know, be relaxed. Do not react in the moment. Yes, you're right. It is tough at times, but that is how you grow as a person, as in your role as well. So when you come through all these situations and tides.
Yeah, I agree. So what do you enjoy the most about your current role?
So I like the dynamism in my current role. So current role, I am into metals and mining for the past 5 months now. All my life, for 15 years, I've worked in the energy sector with oil and gas companies, pipelines, petrochemicals. This is something really new, and wanted to take this risk, or wanted to take this opportunity to venture into metals and mining, something new. Obviously, the rules or mantras of project management remain the same, whichever industry you work with. In my current role, I really like the new challenges that I'm facing, because the domain of metals and mining is very new for me, and I would like to, you know, excel in that domain sometime.
Okay. So what challenges do you face in your current role then?
So my current role, obviously, I'm leading a small project in the west of Africa. But apart from that, I'm also taking care of a lot of leadership, you know, opportunities or activities. So the most challenging thing is understanding how does an organization work, how to take care of, you know, people, how to make people chargeable, and how to make sure that, you know, people have enough work, and how to convince clients, how to convince other offices or people in the organization, outside the organization, as we say, internal clients and external clients, to give us more work. That is something, you know, is new to my role now, and that's very challenging for me.
No, I think that would be really hard, actually.
Yeah.
Have you got any advice on how to increase your company's turnover by approaching different customers?
As I was mentioning to one of my colleagues a few days back, that each company has its own culture, has its own dynamism, has its own, the setup. So you need to understand first, in the first few months of joining a new organization, how does that work? What is the culture? What are the rules that it is set on, the manifesto it is set on? Understand, and then start talking to people. Obviously, each country has its own challenges. Each office has its own challenges. Each client has its own challenges. So we need to understand the background of the office, understand how can we support that particular client or office or organization, then proposing the best solution as per your experience and whatever resources that you have. There will be challenges, or there will be pressure, there will be problems during this way, but we don't need to be disheartened and stop. We just need to go on and on. And then, you know, obviously, if you give your best for best towards a particular problem, definitely you will come through it in the end.
Okay. So do you find that because you've just changed industries from the energy sector over to mining and materials, do you find that your skill set was transferable?
Yes, definitely. So as I mentioned earlier, I come from the projects background. So the skill set, the basics of project management are applicable here as well. And I was able to, you know, bring my skill set on the table. I'm a quality auditor as well. I'm a Six Sigma Green Belt. I excel in communication. So all these factors on how to take care of projects, how to execute them well, how to take care of clients, and how to take care of internal, external parties was really helpful, what I learned in the last 15 years. And I'm glad that I'm able to use that experience into the current role that I have.
So you mentioned about the Six Sigma Green Belt certification. What is that? Do you find it a helpful tool to carry out your current role?
So yes, Six Sigma is a certification which, you know, really helps you to understand how does data work. So I got an opportunity to get a Green Belt certification from my last organization. My project was vendor document management. So vendor management or vendor document management is a crucial role, or supplier management is a very crucial part in any execution of the project. So obviously completing that Green Belt certification really helped me to understand that data never lies. So data is always the truth. We need to analyze data, whatever we have, using the skills that we have, using the softwares that we have, to come to better reports, better results, better working, better analysis. It really helps us to, you know, analyze what was the problem in the past, how to decipher that problem now, and then, you know, apply those lessons learned in the future.
Okay. So is there still anything that you want to achieve in your career?
So yes, obviously, I cannot say that I've achieved a lot in my life. Yes, I have. Thankful to God for where I am today. But yes, it's a long way to go. Learning never stops. And, you know, the only direction I see is going up from here. So I really want to achieve a lot in life. Having said that, I go step by step. So my first step in the current role or currently is executing a very good project and getting a new project. That's another thing I want to do, to win a new project for my organization and execute these projects well in the next couple of years. And then we will see from there.
Okay. But did you ever think when you first started out after graduating that you would be as successful as you are being a new engineering manager? Because you are quite young to be an engineering manager, if you don't mind me saying.
So never, obviously, I never thought that, because my bachelor's was in telecommunication. I always thought I'll be working with one of the commercial telecom companies in India or elsewhere, being an engineer. I never thought that I'll be getting into project management the day I started work. Obviously, I had aspirations of becoming, getting into management sometime in my career. But as in young engineers, I think the first thing that's there in our mind is grab a nice job, grab a nice salary and settle your life. And we are very impatient to grow. So I started off in the, technical expertise, with my technical expertise of telecom, then moved on to instrumentations, learned few basics of instrumentations. I was really, really glad to. And I was very lucky to be given opportunities in my last organization in engineering management or project engineering. My mentors or my bosses were very helpful. And they were the ones who said that you should get into project management or engineering management because you have that knack and, you know, you're good with people, you're good with execution, and you're good with clients. So I was working on a project in the Middle East, and my project manager said that, would you like to join my team in the engineering management domain? I said, yes, sir, why not? So it just happened, you know, within a day, I think. So it happened so quickly. So yes, we never know where our lives takes us. So my message here would be ready. When you get opportunities, raise your hand, go ahead, take them, bang on. And challenges or new opportunities will only make you grow. You have to take those risks in life.
Do you really think that we should take risks in life, though? Do you?
So obviously, we should take risks. The amount of risk appetite depends on where you are on your career path or where you are in your experience. So I would suggest that when you're young, you have the more capacity to take on risks. So you can take risks, and the worst that can happen is that it won't work. But again, as I said, every project, every opportunity, right, wrong, good, bad, pass or fail, will teach you something in life. So yes, please take risks, take things as they come. As you grow in your career, your risk appetite will decrease because you will have families to support. You will have a role to support. But yes, having said that, coming in the 15, 20 years experience range, I do take calculated risks and see what can be done and what can be taken out of those risks.
Okay. So you must hire lots of graduates every year. So what do you look for when you're interviewing someone? What kind of skills do they have to have?
So thankfully, my first organization gave me the opportunity to go to a college and interview young grads. So the first quality I look into somebody is they need to be street smart. They need to be dynamic, so and have the right attitude. So knowledge is something, or technology is something that can be taught, but the right attitude or being street smart or being very receptive towards problems cannot be taught. So we need to have the right attitude to learn, to grow. That is something that comes obviously naturally and can be nurtured even more once you start working.
Okay. So when you're interviewing somebody, is it important to be able to demonstrate your technical ability as well as having the softer side of the interviews for your person?
Yes, definitely, because that is the prime thing that we do in our job. So obviously, a person has to have that technical capabilities. For me, obviously, the softer sides or soft skills are very important. Apart from the technical capabilities, what I mentioned was technical knowledge is important. But if you are willing to learn, if you are willing to grow, if you are willing to venture into new things, you need to have the right attitude. So yes, technical capabilities are a good core platform, or how do I put it? So yes, a good core platform is very important when we go out and interview people, young grads coming in. You have to have this the belief in yourself that you have those capabilities, and how confident are you to put those capabilities to work?
Yeah, but that can be hard for a lot of the young graduates.
Yeah,
because they might not have the confidence in maybe their first couple of interviews. Have you got any suggestions about how to overcome the nerves?
So the suggestion I would give to young grads is just be calm. Obviously, I can now think about the time that I had my first interview sitting in college. Obviously, I was very, very nervous and extremely nervous. I thought that I'll not get through it. Thankfully, I did get through it. So my suggestion to the young grads will be to not take too much of pressure. The world is now becoming a rat race, but at the same time, there are people who are willing to identify your true potential and work towards it. There are so many opportunities around the world. If you start looking for something, you'll definitely land up somewhere. So let's not take pressure. Let's go day by day. Let's go, moment by moment. Let's go interview by interview. I really hope, that the young grads coming up will increase their patience levels or, their energy levels when it comes to these interviews. So it's kind of tough. So obviously, these are things that you have to take slowly, calmly. And as I said, just be calm.
Okay. So have you had any career disasters? And how did you overcome them?
Thankfully, no. Because by the grace of God, or my mentors have been good all throughout my life. So no career disasters, but yes, there are challenges all throughout the careers. But I can proudly say that I've never had a career disaster, and I really hope I don't see one in the future.
Okay. So have you had any difficult situations that you've managed to change into a success?
Yes, so I can take an example of the COVID times. I was working with one of the biggest project for our organization in US, and COVID just hit us all of a sudden, the whole world, and we were sitting at home doing nothing. The first few months were very challenging. The biggest paradigm shift, I would say, during COVID was we never knew when to stop working. The first instance was that when COVID hit, was that we were always available 24 hours. So that took an emotional toll and the stress. I was under stress, physical stress, and that was something, you know, it was quite a challenge. But then 1 year down the line, I understood that we need to calm our bodies, calm our mind. We cannot just work 24 hours. We cannot just be available 24/7. We need to give time to the family, give time to your passions. And we understood how to manage our time well, manage our resources well. So COVID taught us a lot of things, and there were a lot of challenges in the organization as well. Software challenges, internet challenges, you know, people going through hardships and at their homes. So yes, now I can say that we were able to sail through it. But yes, the biggest challenge was to raise your hand and tell people when to stop.
Do you really think that, though? Because there is still quite a lot of companies that think that you should be available for them 24/7. Do you think that is even healthy?
No, it's not healthy, and it's not practically possible as well, to be honest. No person on this planet can work 24/7 all throughout the year or all throughout his tenure. So there will be days where the jobs will be more demanding, and you know, you might have to sit late nights. But then if you're doing 24/7, you cannot sustain for long. It's definitely not healthy. It takes a toll on your body. We don't realize it. So the curve of stress is a very slow rising curve, and it just shoots up in a few days. So you need to take care of your body, your health, and your mental health. That's the most important, your well-being. I've seen people trip because of this, and then they understood the hard way. But my suggestion to a lot of people around us is to do as much as you can. Obviously, we are struggling to build organizations, the best organization in the world. But yes, we don't want to build the best of our careers or organization at the cost of our health.
Okay. So how would you maybe advise anybody that was maybe working too much?
So we need to manage time, and then we need to, the one quality I would say here is we need to know when to raise hand, and that everybody knows their own capabilities or the capacities that they can take in health-wise, mind-wise, or work-wise. So we need to have that, you know, be honest to yourself. You know that you cannot handle it, and you don't want to say a no because it might go to someone else and someone might get that promotion or success. But yes, we need to know when to stop, manage your time well. Make sure you at least, I know some jobs demand 6 days a week, but I would say that at least get 1 or 2 days off during the week where you just, get away from your laptop and phone. So over the last couple of years, I have made a rule that on Sundays, I do not touch my laptop at all. So what was happening during COVID in the last, till 2022, in fact, because I was involved in a very, very scheduled type project, was I was working even on Sundays, late at night, and then go back to the office the early morning. So as a rule, I've made it a point that once I'm off work, unless and until there's an emergency, I do not touch my laptop at all. Thankfully, my organizations have been very supportive and my bosses have been very supportive. There are challenges when you're in business and when you're in a project. So it's good, and it gives you a lot of confidence getting your team or your project out of trouble. But again, as I said, not at the cost of your health.
Okay. But have you ever worked in a particularly difficult project?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have worked in, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say where you've had to dedicate long hours.
So yes, I have had to work in a very tough project with a very tough client and a very tough schedule, as I mentioned. Went on for 2 years. It takes a toll on your health as well. So I thought that I'm extremely fit. My mind is very stable. I have the willpower to work 14, 15 hours a day and work on weekends also. Yes, I have done that. And thankfully, that project is now behind me and I'm into a new project and new role.
Okay. That sounds really good though. So what is your zone of genius? What are you most excellent at?
Oh, so yes, I'm very good at communicating and managing people, managing emotions, executing projects, I would say. I'm good at analyzing problems with the clients or analyzing project problems and then delivering solutions towards it. Yeah.
Okay. So what keeps you motivated when times get tough?
So when times are tough, as I said, this project was really tough and thankfully it's over now. So the thing that, you know, gets us motivated is nothing lasts forever. So a problem which has just come up will definitely end. So what keeps me motivated are the new challenges that, you know, come my way. As I said, this is a tough challenge for me, my current role as well. I'm trying to learn a lot again with my boss. So my motivation definitely is I have every day I go to office, there's a new thing for me to learn. There's a new activity. There's a new project and there are new people to deal with or new clients to talk to. So that keeps me motivated all day long. And obviously, I have a beautiful family with two kids. I know I want to come back home and be with them. That's also part of my motivation, I would say.
Okay. Well, that sounds good, though. Do you have any advice for any young graduates wanting to come into the energy sector?
So the advice I would say to the young graduates is take things slow, have some patience, because the initial few years of your job or of your career, you will have to put in a lot of efforts. And it's true for energy sector, but it's true for other sectors as well. The growth is exponential once get good opportunities or a few years down the line. But be patient, be practical, and give your best every day. Things will definitely fall in place if you have the right mind and you go with the right mindset. Don't be impatient with results that you're not getting anything in 1 year of your job or 2 years of your job. Things take time. Opportunities will come. And as I said, when opportunities knock, don't say no. It's very tough to say no.
I know. Because there could be some graduates that may be comfortable in their current role that maybe are quite hesitant to move up to the next stage. I mean, that can be true. Have you got any advice for them to do that?
So whenever you're in two minds of the next role or next project or next job that you want to take in, weigh your options, I would say. Calculate the risks that are involved. Calculate what will you get. A lot of times, as I said, I've got a couple of opportunities where I had the option of saying yes or no. And they were quite challenging. One of them was very early in my career. I was asked to go to West Africa to one of very dangerous countries of Africa for a site survey, which was still under army rule. So I had the option of saying no. I calculated my risk and I wanted to say no. But then deep down, I thought that if I say no, there'll be 10 hands saying yes. So when you are in certain situations, trust me, once you say no, you don't want to regret the next morning you get up or after a few days or a few weeks or a few years that you should have said yes. So go with your gut, trust your instincts, and go with a positive mind. As I said, every problem, every project will teach you something in life.
I think that's excellent advice, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you maybe one final question. If you could turn back time, would you change anything?
It's a very good question. And probably the toughest that you have asked. I would say no, because thankfully what I've got in life as opportunities have helped me. I would say I cannot think of anything that I would like to change. I'm glad with what life has thrown at me, and I've been good with opportunities or what work has thrown towards me. So I grab it with both hands.
So there's not one opportunity that you turned down that you wish you'd taken earlier in your career?
Earlier in my career, I think I can take one out of my book is, I think I was only 2 years experience and I got a chance to go to Saudi as a lead, and that would have been a great project. I could not take it because of a personal reason or a personal emergency at home. But I cannot say that I regret that, because I'm a firm believer of whatever happens, happens for good. So I would have said yes or no. It wouldn't have mattered. Whatever was there in my destiny, I would have definitely got it. Nobody can stop that. So I won't say that I regret it, but yes, that was one opportunity. I think that, you know, if not my personal problem, I definitely would have taken it.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have today. I would like to thank Varun for your time. That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening and see you next week. That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, I'd like to gently encourage you to leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with another person. You can also follow me on LinkedIn or via my website, www.michellefraserconsultancy.com. Thanks again for listening and see you next week.